You're listening to a message from Victory Fort Bonifacio. Get the latest updates by visiting victoryfort.org or like us on facebook.com/victoryfort.
Happy New Year, everybody. It's good to be back. I was told that Pastor Paulo was going to go on vacation. That's why I was supposed to be here. Then I realized that he wasn't on vacation. I think he misses me a lot. I just wanted to greet you all a happy new year. It's great to be back. Please say hello to my wife, who, with all that said, I want to say that I was thinking about what to share with you this morning. I thought the one word that would make a difference is this word called hope. That as you enter 2018, that you would have this, really this incessant desire to drive yourself towards hope, eat hope, live hope, do all the hope. And I watched Star Wars. I've been very excited. I was a younger man when the first Star Wars came out, and 40 years later, they're still on to Star Wars. And I watched it, and when I watched it the first time, I heard the word hope mentioned a number of times. Now, I decided to watch it again, this time with my wife, but being a decent movie goer, which you all should be, I did not take notes using my mobile phone. Now, some people use their mobile phones while they're in the theater. You shouldn't be doing that, right? Some of you don't like that, okay? So usually if you see somebody on the backstage, the very top row using a phone, that's me. I usually take notes when I watch movies because I use them for my preaching. And for this go-around, I watched Star Wars again, and I heard the word hope mentioned 6 times in different parts of the movie, very crucial moments of the movie. And so I thought it was something that the world is really asking for, and all of us as Christians need to have entering into the new year. I want to talk about 3 things about hope. Why is hope important? What is hope? What does the Bible say about it? And finally, how do you get it? How do I have hope on a regular basis that I can live that way based on why it's important and what it is, so I can have it in my life every day? First question is why? The simple answer is you need hope, we need hope every day. Why? Because it's hard to get out of bed without it. You actually cannot live life without hope. If you don't have hope, you're going to do something unreasonable. You and I live and thrive on hope. Cosmetics is all about hope, amen? I mean, think about all the things you hope on and hope in. I mean, what a hopeless world this would look like if women came to church today without makeup. Are you here? Okay? So, I mean, I'm just being honest. I just turned off all the women this morning. But hope, we buy lotto tickets, it's hope. And you need it. You need it for getting out of bed. You need it for to last the day. You think about every single thing you need in every area of your life. Your relationships. Think about the husband that you married that you thought was hopeful and then became hopeless. And if you don't have any hope anymore, how many of you know that's not going to be a good marriage? Your child, your son, your daughter, the child that you were hoping will get 80s in his grade and keeps getting 74s. You need hope. Because without it, you can't get out of bed. You won't last the day. That's a song. Yeah. And for just about my era, of course. But the point is, you need it. A verse to be good at is Job chapter 11, verse 16. And you will feel secure. This is one of the places where you find a lot of that word hope is in the book of Job, interestingly. And you will feel secure when you have hope, because there is hope. And when you look around, you'll find rest and insecurity, because hope is vital, it's critical. The question is, where do you put your hope? Some put their hope in stuff like this, which, by the way, is hope. The question is not whether you use hope. The question is, what do you put your hope in? Is the real issue. And have you created a habit where you've gotten used to a certain hope where you could be putting your hope in a spouse, in a pastor, in a church, in something else other than where you should be putting it, which are all flippant and temporary? Hope. Psalms 33 verse 17 says, a war horse is a false hope. There's such a thing as true hope, and there's such a thing as false hope. And so that's why we need hope, is because we cannot go through the day without it. The second question is, what should we put our hope in? Or what is hope? And that's the big question, isn't it? What is it that you're putting your hope on? Hebrews chapter 6, 19 says, hope is an anchor for the soul, a firm and secure anchor, and enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. We're going to talk about that in a bit. But the point is, the starting point of understanding hope is an anchor for your soul. If you would look at your life as a ship that can get tossed to and fro as a boat in the storms of life, which will come, by the way. Many of you know I lost my father, and my mother is sitting here this morning. Thank God she hasn't been able to come. She always watches me on a screen, but fortunately now she's here, and we lost my father this year. But there's hope. But there's this firm security. There's a rest that comes when we understand that there's an anchor for our ship. Then the storms will come. It's not as if will the storm come. If they come, they will come. And when they do come, you better have an anchor. Because that storm is going to sweep that boat. And if you don't have an anchor, and it's okay to get veered away every now and then. The whole point of an anchor is not for you to just be immovable. The whole point of an anchor is that even if it throws you here and throws you there and it throws you here and throws you there, it gets you to go back to that place because there's a hope. There's an anchor that keeps you steady. That even when you feel like the whole thing is teetering and just about to collapse and go over, it comes back up because there's hope. So when you lose that hope, you lose just about everything. And sometimes people who commit suicide, many times, if not all the time, it's because they've lost hope. And for many, it's not that they committed suicide, but they lost hope, but they're living a life that's hopeless. So in a way, you're actually committing suicide, except you're committing it slowly. It's not because you're not thriving on hope, but because you put it on the wrong hope. My son, David, about 6 years ago, gave me on Christmas a book. It was an interesting book by Walter Isaacson. Walter Isaacson is one of the greatest biographers of all time. He's written the biography of Benjamin Franklin, Albert Einstein, and ultimately he wrote the best-selling biography of all time, which is this book. It's about 518 pages, so I never read it. Dave, sorry. But this year, when I got back, I finally started. You know, every time I'm in town, I would flip through it, and I finally started reading it. And an unimaginable, amazing story of a man. The man who invented computer. It's argued that Microsoft copied the Mac OS, which means every computer out there is based on this man's creation. It's amazing when you read the book, he changed the music industry. Closed down every CD factory in the world. And Tower Records and everybody else. He killed it all. It's amazing when you think about photography and how we consume it and how we deliver it now was changed because of this man's genius in a way. How we communicate and how we talk and how we speak to each other. In fact, how we watch cartoons. It's crazy how many of the greatest things that this guy has done. And you know what's so sad about the book? Is towards the end of the book, when you start reading it, it was kind of hopeless. And Isaacson records one sunny afternoon when he wasn't feeling well. This is when his second bout with it, and nearing the third chapter and conclusion of his life. He wasn't feeling well. Job sat in the garden behind his house and reflected on his death. You see, we don't think of hope and we don't think about these things until life becomes hopeless. We don't think about hope and we don't prepare ourselves. We keep thinking about, okay, I'm going to start with my agenda. I'm going to start with my plan. I'm going to start with my calendar. I'm going to start with that. That's why we start with fasting. To get you back to that place of the most important ingredient you're going to have for next year is this thing called hope. Because by the way, we're all going to end up where Steve ended up with. If you don't practice that, you might end up with some of the thoughts that he had to entertain coming into this moment and not having hope. Reflected on death, and he says, he talked about his experiences in India, his study of Buddhism and his views of reincarnation and spiritual transcendence. He's a very well-learned, well-read, well-educated, albeit a college dropout, but he was a brilliant guy. And yet, it says that I'm about 50-50 on believing in God. Basically, he's an agnostic. That's what an agnostic is. I believe, but I don't believe. I believe, but I don't believe. I think I believe, but I don't believe. And he was laboring through that, and basically he was saying that I'm getting to start to believe in it again because I'm about to die. Your values, my values, our hopes, our future changes depending on the storms we face. When everything's on the up and up and everything's happening, sure, we can just go away and do life the way we want to until issues come and the storms come and you've realized you don't really have an anchor. And he said, I felt that there must be more to our existence than meets the eye. So here's the point. Where do you put your hope? It's strange to think, he says, that you accumulate all these experiences. This guy's one of the greatest. I mean, I was looking at his airplane. The Apple company bought him an $88 million airplane. I'm trying to think to myself, how do you maintain an $88 million airplane, Pastor Paulo? It's strange to think that after you accumulate all these experiences, it all just goes away. And then he goes on to say, so I really want to believe, now he's wrestling, that something survives. That maybe your consciousness endures. He fell silent for a very long time. But on the other hand, perhaps, it's like an end and on and off switch. And click, and you're gone. Sad because when you look at how hopeless the situation is and how scary to enter into that place without an anchor. Job, interesting. Steve Jobs, Job 27. That's not prophetic. Don't get weird, okay? For what is the hope of the godless when God cuts him off and when takes away his life? There is no hope. There's only panic. And many times the reason why you and I are stressed, overwhelmed, and overcome by life is because we forgo of hope. And we think that we can put our hope on certain things that are not really true hope. And then we start wondering when they fall apart and don't deliver what we expect them to deliver, that we're in trouble. And all of a sudden, our boats are slammed back and forth, are sinking, and we're drinking salt water because our hope is not on the right hope. So it matters why hope is important, but it matters even more what is the hope that you're putting your hope in. Even more so. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 says, so God desired to show more convincingly to their heirs of the promise, this is the verse before the anchor of your soul, the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed with an oath. Here's why, here's the hope you want to put in. The unchangeable character of the person who gave the promise. In other words, if you want hope, you need to understand that. So that by the unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we also have fled for the refuge, might strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us. In other words, here's the simple thing he's saying. What he's basically saying is, this is the hope that you can trust. The character of God and the Word of God. When you trust the character of God, that he never lies, he never changes his mind, and you set your hope on his Word, then you end up with this verse, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Firm, everybody say firm. Secure and immovable. Because Jesus enters into that sanctuary for us. What is hope? If hope is just a waking up and having a positive attitude, that wanes pretty quick. I'm going to go down for effect, amen? You see, here's the problem with hope that is not the hope of God. Hope that is unstable, hope that fizzles out, hope that wanes is at the end of the day not a hope but a wish. You wish the money will last. You wish you won't get sick. You wish your husband could do better. The problem with a wish is usually they don't really come true, which is why you need hope. Because hope is not just a wish. It's something that is built on the character of a person who made a promise on words that have lasted for eons. Simply means thousands of years. That you can rely on, that you can bet on. That's why we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Don't make a mistake of entering the world next year just on hope. What hope? Which hope? Because that matters. The character of God is that hope. The Word of God is that hope. Because the storms of your ships will come. The changes in climates will come. The greatness is going to wane. You're going to get old. I just had a checkup yesterday. And the doctor proudly announced to me for the first time after 10 years of 20/20 vision, Pastor, your 20/20 vision days are over. Which is a good run for a 60-year-old, amen? In other words, they're going to come. You just better be sure where the real hope is entering into the year. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1 is the place of hope. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you. This is what you hope. You wake up in the morning and you look at your eyes and say, I know that it's not 2020 vision anymore, but I know the plans that God has for me. Because I trust the character and the word of that person who gave me the plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me hope in the future. Enter the world next year, putting your hope in the character and the word of God, professing that word, confessing that word, not intellectualizing that word, loving that word, eating that word, living that word, confessing it. It's the secret to hope. God, I know that you have plans for me, that to prosper and not to harm me and to give me hope. When I read this verse and I think of the friends that I have, my father who was a Christian, served the Lord and went through a lot of pain and died, and one of my closest friends, one of my beloved friends whose children are probably sitting here today, his name's Boom Bon Khan, and he's got cancer. And when I follow him on Facebook, and I read some of his posts where he says, pain, pain, go away, never come back another day. Luther Boomy wants to play. I'm a stalker. I'm stalking him on Facebook right now. And every time I read it and I read his posts, I quietly pray. Just before Christmas, I talked with Boom for a very long time. I asked him how he was, and he was describing all the treatments he was going through. And just kept saying how amazing his wife is, how amazing his children is. Thank God that he built the right family. But you know what was interesting was the hope. Because the more I talked to him, it was one moment where he said, he was coughing and he said, you know, Joey, I can't wait. I told my dad, my dad's 89 years old, about the age of my father. I think they knew each other from business before. And he said, I can't wait. I told my dad, I can't wait to get home because I want you, because you can't walk anymore and I'm having a hard time walking. The two of us are going to sit together and we're going to walk one step at a time while I share the gospel with him. I thought, what kind of hope is that? Hope. Romans 5, 3, and 4 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering. Let me talk to you young people a little bit today. Just a little bit. It says character produces hope. If all you have is an app to make your life convenient, you probably won't have a lot of hope. Because the way to character is endurance, it says. And the way to endurance is suffering. And if all you're trying to do is escape that stuff, you probably won't come to a place where you have a lot of hope when that hope is much needed already. So I'm pleading with you. Don't try to escape all the hardship in your life. Some of you, your hardship is you just ran out of toothpaste. Amen? Some of your hardship is the app just changed. That's not hardship. Don't escape it, please. I'm pleading with you. For your sakes, not for mine. For your sakes. Because you're going to need hope. And what is hope? It's character. And where does character come from? From enduring and persevering, not giving up. And where does that come from? From facing storms and learning and seeing how God delivers you from the storm. So don't make the mistake of thinking that just because everything gets convenient and easy, you're going to have hope. You won't. You're going to be empty when that day and storm comes. By the way, I love you very much. And I'll be gone next week. It produces hope. I love what Boom said, one of his posts. Thank you, Lord, for that refining time of my life. An older man who understands true hope. Not fake hope, not false hope. I'll not even wish to happen to any of my people, even my people I don't like. I much needed that to enable me to carry on the plans for me in your Goshen land. Basically, he's defining his promised land in God. Now I see it. God, your ways are not our ways, but you shift us to overdrive when needed, yet you still hold us by your hand. I love you, Dad. Hope, true hope, is in the Word, the character of God, the future that is only in God. Romans 5, verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame, it says. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to us. You know, the funny thing about Star Wars and the Avengers is we all enamored, I shared this in the volunteer appreciation of our church in Singapore. I shared, we all love the Avengers and we all love superheroes. How many of you just love superheroes? Yeah. Some of you are still pretending. You're going, I do. Why? And why are we so enamored by superheroes? One is because they're powerful. And something that's powerful is attractive. Why are we so enamored by superheroes? One, the second reason is because they're ambiguity. They're anonymous. They're not. You don't know who they are. I mean, the whole romance of being so powerful and being unknown is so amazing. It's so attractive. And then there's the matter of saving the world. I mean, think about that. Think about those three most powerful things being offered to you. Is the guy has all the power. The guy is anonymous, he doesn't want to be known, he's not arrogant, he's not proud, and on top of that, he's going to save the world. With one fundamental problem, and the big difference if you put your hope in an Avenger like that versus in Jesus. See, the Avengers always save you. This is my son David speaking to me. The Avengers always save you, Pop. But they always leave. And then they have to come back and save you again. Jesus came and put the power of the Holy Spirit in you so that you can have hope. So at some point, you become the Avenger. You become the guy that has the power. You become the guy that has the ability to save others. And you become the guy that is anonymously willing to do it with everybody else. Hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has begun to be poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. This answers the why, the what. Let me close this message by talking about the how. How do I do this? Okay, Pastor, you sold me. I need it. We all probably live through life with hope. I know what it is. It's the character, the Word of God. How do I do this? Psalm 42, verse 5, why, my soul, are you downcast? You're going to have days like this. You're going to have days when you don't feel right. Some of you, it's because somebody just unliked you. Some of you, it's just because somebody's just dropped your sight. They're no longer visiting you. Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Start the day by putting your hope in God. Start the day in prayer and go to Jesus. Say, Lord, I don't dare want to start this day without you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, if you have hope, but the hope is just a hope in something other than putting your trust in Jesus, then what you have is a wish. It has no substance. It has no basis for standing. It has no evidence of the thing that you're believing God for. The NIV says, now faith is the confidence of the thing that you hope for and the assurance of the thing that you don't see. In other words, I don't see 2018, but I can trust it because I trust in the nature and the character and the word and the promises of this God. For as long as I do that, I can trust it. Further, it says in verse 2, this is what the ancients were commended for. Think about this. This is what people who didn't have a telescope were commended for. They believed that this God created the universe. They believed that the substance of everything that they don't see is this God that created the universe. Which brings us into my close and Star Wars. I watch Star Wars, and it's fascinating, the imagination of George Lucas. And writing and envisioning all these planets, and really, it's worthy of hope. Let me explain something to you about faith and hope that will help you and give you a mnemonic for hope next year. It's a simple matter of the sun that you see every day. You don't need to see the entire galaxy, you just have to see the sun. When I start thinking about how faith and hope works, isn't God so smart and so brilliant and so wise that he gave you a mnemonic up in the sky that you can see every day, that you can have hope and faith? The sun. Sometimes people put their trust and hope in the sun rather than the God who created the sun. And here's the reason why the sun is such a faith-building thing for me. The more I studied all that's happening in the universe, they found out that if you turn the sun and you put a slit on top of it, you could turn it into a kind of a piggy bank. And if you piggy bank, and if the coins were the size of the earth, you could put 1 million earths inside that sun. Do you realize that? 1 million earths fits inside that sun. And that sun hangs on top of the air and has been hanging on the air for probably millions of years. That should give you faith. Sometimes we make our faith so supernaturally weird where we can take something that's very natural and turn it very supernatural for our lives. They found out that now there's not just one sun in the galaxy where we're in. They found out that in the Milky Way galaxy, there's about 400 billion stars. Can you fathom that? And then they sent out the Hubble telescope to check out this place. And when they checked it out, the telescope came back and the data came back that there's not just 400 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. They found out that there are trillions of Milky Way galaxies. And so they sent the Hubble telescope back into space for a deeper probe. And when they went inside, the conclusion of the scientists was, if you take all the sands in the seashore and every grain of them was a star, you could take all of the beaches and all that's underneath the oceans and put them all together, and it won't be enough to measure the expanse of the universe. It's just too big. The Hubble telescope came back with pictures. You go on Google and it will mesmerize you. It's just too much. In other words, it was infinite. It doesn't stop. And so we're flabbergasted and we're overwhelmed by stars and planets rather than the God who said, I made all of that. I created all of that. If you put your hope and trust in a God who has that power and has that character and host of promises, what kind of faith and what kind of hope will you have next year? As I close, Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles, that's you and me, are the riches of His glory, of the glory of His mystery. Something about God that will remain mysterious, something that you and I will never fully understand, and the richness of the glory of the mystery of God, all that creation. And if you take the smallest thing to the biggest thing, look at the galaxies and the biggest. In fact, if you look at your body and you look at your cell, there's an entire universe inside your cell. It's just mind-blowing. It's not even worth thinking about. The thing you should be thinking about is this God who made it. And His mysteries revealed to you and me in Christ Jesus, the hope of all that glory. The majesty and the glory of the universe, the majesty and the glory of the universe inside your body and mine was created by this God. And He says, the way you're going to understand this is not by doing more science, not by getting even the most powerful microscope that can boil down to the smallest integer and the smallest DNA and the biggest of stars, but to know that this God loves you so much. So much. That with all that power, with all that greatness, with all that goodness, people ask me, what does it look like in heaven? I don't know. Will my father and I recognize? I have no idea. This is what I know. He's a good God. And if my body and nature and trees and the sun and the planets and the clouds and the paintings that He paints every day is that beautiful, what more would it look like in all eternity? I have hope in Him. People were asking me, why is it that everybody who came to you during your father's wake were crying and you were like, you were like a rock? I know where He is. I have the hope. This is what I know. Hope. Eternal hope. Not partial hope. Not small-time hope. Not lotto hope. Not false hope. Not bank hope. Real hope. Hope of glory. Jesus Christ, King of the universe, Creator of all things, choosing to live inside of me. Not an avenger who rescues me like Spider-Man, but who walks with me every day of my life. And I can look at that mirror and say, I know the plans you have for me. Despite my failing eyes, I know the plans you have for me. Plans to give me hope in a future. It's not depend on how smart I am or how sexy I am or how engaging I am. Wah! That's not hope. True hope. He says further, for whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction and through endurance. If you don't want endurance, start getting into it. You need it. And through the encouragement of the scriptures, the word of God, the character of God, you might have hope. There is no other basis for hope other than God, who He is, and what He has said. Consequently, it says, faith comes. That's why you go to church. That's why you listen to a preacher preach the gospel and keep reminding you that's where the hope is. Happy New Year, folks. May you have a hopeful New Year. your most fruitful, your best. No, don't clap. We're not done. We're going to stand up and we're going to pray. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Would you just lift up both your hands towards heaven? Father, we love you. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you. Thank you for a great year. In the midst of hardships, in the midst of storms, in the midst of trials, we had a good year. A good year of hope and a good year of faith. And Father, we prophesy, we declare, we decree by faith that that hope will be with us again next year. Tomorrow, God. And Father, we bless you. We love you, we honor you, we acknowledge you, maker of the universe, the one and only God, the true infinite God, who says this is eternal life, to know God, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. To you be praise, to you be honor, to you be glory, forever and ever. Amen. Give the Lord a shout and a clap. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Well, God bless you. Happy New Year.